Hello and welcome everyone to the Gospel of Matthew, the opening of the New Testament, the story of Jesus Christ, and to some very good news. It is great to be back in your speakers and headphones again. We'll be walking through Matthew together with a good friend of mine. Jonathan Ferguson served in youth ministry with me for several crazy awesome years. Today we remain very close friends at very long distance. Jonathan is busy planting churches and training local pastors in Nairobi. Jonathan, good morning to you in Kenya.
And good evening to you, Chris, in America.
Now, just to give everyone a little perspective, Jonathan was late for a phone call with me this week because he was busy chasing baboons away from his trash cans. Baboons! And I don't mean his four little boys. Jonathan, any trouble with baboons today?
No trouble yet, but we did have the zebras, impalas, and buffaloes out there today.
So just the usual. Nice. All right. Enough stories, which Jonathan does have the best stories, by the way. But we're here for the word. Jonathan, open the story of Matthew for us.
Well, Matthew chapter 1 begins very simply. This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers.
All right, time out. I'm looking ahead at the verses, and I see where this is going. This is a genealogy. But this is the story of Jesus, the opening chapter of the greatest story ever told. So why on earth does it begin with a genealogy?
Well, think of it like a movie. A great movie starts with a scene that kind of opens the whole movie for you. I just rewatched the first Avengers movie. Opening scene? You got a secret military base, alien technology, huge explosions. You know right away what kind of movie you're getting into.
Okay, so the opening lays out the movie for you. Then why does Matthew, the story of Jesus, the story, begin with a genealogy?
Well, it's simple, because the Gospel of Matthew is about who Jesus is. And that story does not start here. It was a long time coming, and it started with promises of a descendant who would save, who would be king forever. Those promises were made to two men, Abraham and David, those same two men listed there in verse 1. God promised Abraham that through his line, all the nations of the world would be blessed. And 1,000 years later, God promised King David that a king would come from his line who would reign forever.
Nice. I think for me, verse 1 gets right to the point. Jesus is the Messiah. Now, for every Jew, the first question for Messiah is, does he fulfill the promises? If not, the rest of the story doesn't even matter. So Matthew gets right to the evidence. And speaking of evidence, when Jesus was alive, all genealogy records were carefully kept in the temple. That means that Jesus could prove it. But all of those records were lost to fire in 70 AD. So today, no one, anywhere, can prove they have the lineage to be Messiah. But before the fire, when proof was easy to get, Matthew presented here Jesus' lineage on Joseph's side, and Luke presented his lineage on Mary's side.
Now, if you read through, you may recognize some of these names and know their stories from the Old Testament. This is not a list of the best and smartest and the holiest people on the planet. A lot of these guys were pretty messed up dudes. I mean, we got prostitutes, wicked kings. Even Abraham and David were not men to be idolized. Abraham was a polygamist. When his wife Sarah couldn't have children, he takes another wife. And David? He was a polygamist, an adulterer, and a murderer. Look, Jesus didn't come through this line because they were the most righteous. He came in spite of their unrighteousness. He came through this lineage because, well, he chose to. Abraham didn't deserve to be called by God when he was busy bowing down to some idol in Ur, but God chose him. He used him, and through his descendants, blessed the world. It's called grace. It's the favor of God poured out on undeserving, unrighteous sinners. Even the few women named in this genealogy were not model citizens. I mean, Tamar pretended to be a prostitute in order to trick her father-in-law. Rahab actually was a prostitute. Ruth was from a nation that was known for its gross immorality, and Bathsheba committed adultery with King David. God didn't preserve a special line of righteous men and women because Jesus didn't come to save the righteous, but the sinners. He came for and through the immoral outcasts of humanity. So as you read through this list of names today, don't skip over them. Instead, think about them and See how God can use fallen sinners like you and I to accomplish his plan. Our past may be like that of Manasseh, where we come to Christ after years of depravity. Or it may be like Jacob, stealing from family members and then running away. Yet God can still use us when we turn to him.
Now, after the genealogy, Matthew tells the story of the birth of the king, starting in verse 18. Now, every Christmas, we put a lot of focus on Mary. Mary, did you know? But what about Joseph? Did he know? So in Matthew 1, we see the heart of the man who would adopt Jesus as his own son. Have you ever thought about that? Joseph adopted Jesus. He took him in as his own. Now, Jonathan, I imagine that you have thought about it because you just recently adopted a son. So what are your thoughts on Joseph's experience here?
Well, in those days, when a man decided to marry, he would go to the girl's father to ask permission. He would pay dowry, and the couple would become legally engaged. Engagement then was more binding than it is today. The couple's actually considered to be married, and they were even called husband and wife, but they didn't live together yet. In fact, the groom would live with his parents for another year while the bride lived with her parents. And one of the reasons for this was to prove that the girl was pure and was not secretly pregnant with some other man's child. Now, put yourself in Joseph's sandals when he discovers that Mary's pregnant. Obviously, he knows he's not the dad. But they were engaged, so Mary could have been charged with adultery under the Old Testament law. So Joseph's character shines through in verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. You see, Joseph was first an upright man, so an adulterous wife would not be proper. Keeping her would imply his guilt in the pregnancy. Joseph would have been completely in the right to bring Mary before the town elders, and it would have exonerated him of any guilt. But he cared enough for her to just divorce her quietly instead. So we see here that Joseph was also a caring man.
Now, Joseph is a great guy, but he's still in a hard place. But then God steps in verse 20. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins."
Now, in this culture, to name a child is an act of adoption. Fathers name their children in this culture. So if Joseph names the boy Jesus, he would be taking responsibility for raising him, for caring for him, for being a father to him.
That's right. And we also see here that Joseph was an obedient man, for he did exactly what the angel told him to do. Verse 24 says, "When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife." Now that action would actually bring shame upon him. The looks, the gossip. Did Mary cheat? Does Joseph even care? Well, maybe he did it.
Joseph obeyed God no matter what the gossip was, and this chapter ends with a baby boy, and Joseph gave him the name Jesus.
Matthew 1, the birth of the king.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.